Welcome to Improving Healthcare Outcomes Through IT Policy, a panel sponsored by HIMSS, a cause-based, not-for-profit organization focused on better health through information technology. Today's nationally recognized experts will share their perspectives on the dynamic use of IT and how it is transforming healthcare delivery, payment, and policy. Here's your moderator, Carla Smith.
Hello, and welcome to today's discussion on improving healthcare outcomes through IT policy. I'm Carla Smith. I'm Executive Vice President with HIMSS, and I'm very pleased to be serving as the moderator of a very distinguished panel of Roger Baker, Gail Harrell, Lygia Ricciardi, and Elizabeth Holland. Now, first, let me start with some introductions. The Honorable Roger Baker was nominated by President Obama and confirmed by the Senate in 2009. Roger served as the Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And as Assistant Secretary, he was a Chief Information Officer for the department until his departure earlier this year. And during his time there, he directly managed an organization of over 7,500 IT professionals and a budget of $3.3 million. Roger is currently the Chief Strategy Officer for a technology firm called Agilix. Representative Gail Harrell joins us from the Florida House of Representatives, where she serves as chair of the Health and Human Services Access Committee. Representative Harrell is a nationally recognized leader in health IT, and in 2009 was appointed by Republican leader and now House Speaker John Boehner to the National Health Information Technology Policy Committee, which is tasked with making many recommendations to the Office of the National Coordinator and the Department of Health and Human Services on the implementation of provisions in the stimulus package to promote the use of electronic health records. And Lygia Ricciardi serves as the director of the Office of Consumer eHealth in the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, which is also part of the Department of Health and Human Services. Lygia is responsible for shaping and implementing ONC's national strategy to engage consumers in their health and healthcare. Previously, Lygia worked on technology policy and strategy, both in the public and private sectors, including the Federal Communications Commission, the Markle Foundation, and Harvard Business School. And Elizabeth Holland. Elizabeth is the director of Health IT Initiatives Group in the Office of eHealth Standards and Services at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Elizabeth has worked at CMS for over 20 years and has held positions in physician payment policy, Medicare contractor management, and HIPAA outreach and compliance, and first joined the federal government as a presidential management intern. So delighted to have all four of you with us today. So today, what we're going to be talking about is to discuss how health IT enables better quality at a more effective cost point. Now, there are some foundational components of health information technology, such as the Meaningful Use Program, which is part of the stimulus package, and how those foundational components and the power of health IT can be brought to bear to improve the quality, the safety, and the cost effectiveness of patient care. We're going to be talking about clinical and business intelligence, lessons learned, and how information exchange can be a common thread to facilitate an improved healthcare delivery system for our nation. We're going to start with the big picture around health IT. So I'd like to begin by giving our four panelists an opportunity to share, each from your own perspective, what you see as some of the greatest challenges and the opportunities for health IT to impact the American public. Gail, I'd like to begin with you. You, as a representative on the Health IT Policy Committee and being a member of the Florida House of Representatives, and you have a lot of experience with boots on the ground in actual delivery of care. Love to hear from you. Where do we need to focus our efforts?
Thank you so very much. First of all, I want to say thank you for allowing me to participate in this very prestigious panel. Thank you all for being here. And I see things from really three perspectives. First, at the federal level, sitting on the Health Policy Committee, which is in itself an amazing experience with the talent that's on that committee. And then as a policy maker at the state of Florida, really directing healthcare policy there, but also as a longtime healthcare administrator, seeing what happens down when it hits the ground on that level where the patients are impacted, where physicians and providers are impacted. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique perspective. And what I see happening and where I see the changes that are really directing where we need to be going has to do with probably the biggest challenge we have is interoperability. And making sure that you can have that interoperability so that you wind up with really the ability to impact care and have the care coordination. I think that's the key challenge we have and the key opportunity we have as we move forward. Certainly, getting patients involved in their own care is, again, a challenge and an opportunity. You know, getting all our wonderful senior citizens out there on Medicare to become computer literate, to go into that portal, find out what's going on, take the initiative and do it is a challenge to have providers really incentivized to help them do that. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that they use the information they have. And that's where the VA has been so impactful, I think, with Blue Button. Mm-hmm. And we need to export that across the nation. Mm-hmm. So that's a challenge and an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, another challenge and opportunity is making sure that we really have providers meaningfully use that record, that electronic health record. So you see the improvement in quality of care, whether it's through decision support, whether it's through making sure that you have all the information at hand. Again, the interoperability segment, so that you can have the very best outcomes. Mm-hmm. I think we are all committed to making sure that we are changing the dynamic and that we are moving the bar and changing outcomes. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. But the basic of things, the absolute basic of things, in order to make the whole endeavor successful, you have to have that ultimate foundation of privacy and security. Mm-hmm. That's the basis of everything. Because our consumers, our patients out there, just will not accept this. They're very afraid of what can happen. Mm-hmm. If that very personal, private information is out there, you know, and they get very nervous about that. So I think that's the foundation of things. Mm-hmm. That, again, is a challenge, mm-hmm. but also an opportunity. When people have confidence, when they have trust, then they will become very receptive to where we are going in the entire endeavor of changing outcomes through health IT.
Thank you, Gail. And Gail, you made a number of points that I think are very relevant in the veterans world of trust and engaging the veterans in their care and such. And so, Roger, I'd like to turn to you and talk about what's going on within the VA and transforming the delivery of care for our nation's veterans.
Thanks, Gail. And thank you for letting me join this panel. I appreciate that. You know, what was interesting to me about coming into the VA in 2009 is you come into a system that's been using electronic health records for years. Mm-hmm. And so you really come into a mature EHR environment, and you see the benefits of that. You know, at VA, because of health IT, quality of care has gone up dramatically. Cost of care has gone down dramatically. It's a huge system now with fully electronic health records for the last 15 or 20 years on every episode of care with every patient. And so to an extent, when you come in, you start thinking about what are the opportunities to use that information. So as Gail pointed out, one of those opportunities is to return that information back to the patient. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll talk about Blue Button later. Mm-hmm. Some of the other things, and I appreciated Gail talking about security and privacy. You know, one of the things that that we at VA especially tried to do over the last 4 or 5 years was use transparency to help us gain confidence from those we cared for that their electronic records were well taken care of and they were secure. And so we, on a monthly basis, briefed every information breach we had at the organization so that everybody knew, yes, they occurred, but we weren't hiding anything, I think is the fear that folks have. But then as you look forward, the real opportunity here is in this wealth of information, what can we do with longitudinal health, with population health, from all of that information in the large-scale databases? You know, over the last 4 years, VA has aggregated all those patient records into a corporate data warehouse and is now starting to do some analysis on, you know, Dr. Robert Jesse, who's the Undersecretary for Health, has frequently said, we probably have almost every comparative study we ever want to do, we've already done inside the VA. We just have to do the analysis on, you know, what were the results of that study from certain applications of treatments to some patients and other applications of treatments to other patients. Mm-hmm. That wealth of data is something that we can begin to really analyze for much better health, not just of the veteran population, but of the population as a whole, mm-hmm. and start using our IT power, mm-hmm. You know, to really generate benefits for everybody who's getting health care.
Mm-hmm. I want to pick up on what you said, Roger, because of the impact on population health, not just for veterans, but it can be extrapolated to other Americans, and go on over to Elizabeth with the IT systems that CMS has in place. And you cover a tremendous number of Americans with Medicare and Medicaid services. What is CMS focused on in the use of IT, and how does it differ or similar to what Roger's describing in the VA?
Well, really our big kahuna right now is that CMS is administering the Medicare and Medicaid EHR electronic health record incentive programs, mm-hmm. which are also known as the meaningful use programs. Mm-hmm. They're designed to help providers switch from paper records to electronic records and then to use those that information in a meaningful way. And it's difficult to share information when some providers are storing their information electronically and others are still hanging on to their paper records. Mm-hmm. The incentive program enables providers actually to adopt, implement, or upgrade to certified EHR technology, but then it asks them, once they have that technology, to use those capabilities of their EHRs to achieve benchmarks that can lead to improved patient care. And that's really what we're after. Mm-hmm. Providers start with stage one of meaningful use, which really focuses on data capture and included measures such as implementing drug and drug or drug allergy interaction checks, electronically prescribing, as well as capturing clinical quality measures. So far with the program, we have paid 77% of eligible hospitals and about 48% of eligible professionals. Stage two is the next part of meaningful use, which will start in 2014, and that includes measures for information exchange and patient engagement. In addition, CMS has a number of other e-health initiatives, such as the implementation of ICD-10 and the standardization of operating rules, and both will facilitate electronic data exchange by defining how electronic transactions occur and when and what information is included.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, thank you. And Lygia, over at the Office of the National Coordinator, you're responsible for engaging consumers in their health. And so help us understand some of your focus there.
Sure. Well, I think it's been said that the patient is the most underutilized member of the health team, and I really strongly believe that. And I believe that health information technology can finally really enable consumers to engage as true partners in their health and their health care, which makes so much sense, because who's more invested in your health than you as an individual, mm-hmm. and who knows more about your health and your body than you? Mm-hmm. There's also the point that we as individuals determine our health more than any other factor. And with information technology, we'll be able to do a variety of things, from better understanding our own health and communicating with our providers to sharing information among them. Where health information exchange may not be taking place outside, the consumer can often act as that medium of exchange, the one who brings information to the full care team. Mm-hmm. And additionally, we're seeing a growth of apps and tools that let people really manage their own health on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And when you say apps and tools, you mean on mobile devices?
I'm talking about on mobile devices. There are also some tools that may not be, they may be PC-based, but increasingly there are devices. Some of them are very consumer-oriented and non-traditional health things like a digital pedometer or a digital scale. Others are more like an electronic glucometer. Mm-hmm. So they sort of run a large spectrum, but many of them are on smartphones.
Mm-hmm. And your effort within ONC, is that tied to the stimulus package or is that tied to another piece of legislation?
It's broader. Mm-hmm. We certainly work through the Meaningful Use Incentive Program, and we'll be talking more about that today and the specifics of patient engagement in that. But it's really a broader concept, I think, and the program itself is broader than that because patient engagement is an essential part, I think, not just of health information technology, but in really building success for health reform in a broader sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Gail, with your work of both being part of the House of Representatives and your work in a clinical practice, you certainly understand about the power of having the patient get involved in their care.
Absolutely. I think that is key to really changing outcomes. Mm-hmm. If you really have the patient engaged and they have all the tools at hand that they can use to make informed decisions and change lifestyles, I think you can have a huge impact on that population health. When you look at the number one problem we have in this country with obesity, mm-hmm. if you can empower patients to take control of their lives, you can then also have a huge impact on the cost of healthcare down the road, whether it's diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, eye disease. It's a whole variety of impacts that you can have with the patient involved in their own health care.
And that is a great place for us to take a brief break. And you are listening to Improved Healthcare Outcomes Through IT Policy, sponsored by HIMSS on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are you trying to implement health policy in light of budget cuts and sequestration? Are you struggling to engage consumers in their own care? HIMSS, focused on better health through information technology, invites you to join healthcare policy leaders, IT professionals, and providers in sharing current challenges and practical solutions at the Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition, June 11th and 12th at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Downtown Hotel. Register at govhealthitconference.com. You'll learn how public and private sector organizations are using innovative technologies to create a more collaborative model of care, which helps control costs while improving health outcomes. Come network with decision makers from federal and regional government, technology and provider communities, and learn best practices that can help you achieve a better return on your investment. Don't miss the Government Health IT Conference, June 11th and 12th. Register at govhealthitconference.com.
And we're back with Improving Healthcare Outcomes Through IT Policy, sponsored by HIMSS on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And just before the break, we had started talking about consumer engagement. And so I want to pick up on that and with that energy around there and start with LIGEA. If you could talk with us about the Office of the National Coordinator's work around consumer engagement and take it from there.
Okay, terrific. So the way we think about consumer engagement really falls into a three-part strategy in terms of what needs to change kind of nationwide from our perspective. We call it the three A's. And the first A is about access to information in a digital format. And that is certainly being enabled by meaningful use policy and also by the blue button. So just giving people access to information about their health, their personal health, about their options for care that they might seek is one essential piece. The second A is about making information actionable. It's one thing to get a lot of information, but if it's not in a form or a format with which you can do something, it doesn't do you a lot of good. So a lot of the work that we do in that area has to do with encouraging the development of apps and tools and truly an ecosystem in the private sector, especially of new mechanisms for using information in ways that help people to meet their own individual health goals. So we do that through putting together challenges, for example, and opening up new data flows so that people can use them to build worthwhile, interesting tools. The third piece of our 3A strategy has to do with attitudes. And this really recognizes that it's not just about putting technology in place. We're really dealing with some cultural change here when we expect people to get really engaged in their health and their healthcare. Mm-hmm. So we try and encourage people to say it's okay to partner with your provider to really ask questions about your health and to be a really active member of your care team and encourage people to really enter into that kind of relationship. So from a kind of high level perspective, that's the approach we're using to think about how to move patient engagement forward.
Okay, thank you. And now LIGEA mentioned blue button. The term also came up in our first segment. And so, Roger, I was wondering if you could just spend a little bit of time explaining what blue button is and how VA is involved and others.
Sure. I had the pleasure of watching Blue Button evolve. Like G and I mentioned, we're both big fans of Dr. Peter Levin, who was the chief technology officer at VA. And Peter would be the first to tell you that that he didn't create Blue Button, but he sure drove it for about 3 years. And the concept of Blue Button is very, very simple. What if every healthcare provider in the country gave their patients all their medical information in a standard format? And so what the VA did, under Dr. Levin's direction, is take our website, the My Healthy Vet website, and turn the data on that website into a downloadable, originally an ASCII file, that you could just push the blue button, and your medical information came down to your PC. And then in a brilliant next step, we drove forward with asking all other medical care providers that the government dealt with to do the same thing. So now if you're a patient of the DOD, the VA, and private sector organizations, you can download onto your PC all of your medical information from each of those organizations. What a concept. I think that is the consolidated medical record that everybody is looking for. But if you think about it, I've been seen by probably 20 to 25 doctors in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the potential logical repositories for my entire medical information. And if you roll it forward a little bit, in the concept, what if I walked around with a USB stick or a smart card that had all of my health information on it? And it's important to recognize that, the consumer both leverages transparency. Mm-hmm. It leverages the consumer's role in their own care. It makes that information available to apps that a consumer might want to use. And maybe most importantly, from what we were looking at the time, is the consumer can be the channel of communication for the consolidated health record between the doctors that they deal with. We have patients from VA right now that tell us that they take their blue button information, they go to their private sector doctor, and they say, here's my VA record. You can have this to incorporate in what you have. And it's very, very powerful from a consumer empowerment standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can tell you, I was visiting my parents a couple of weeks ago. My mother is 81 and my father is 80. And they asked me about it. They said, honey, our doctor was just talking about this blue button. And so we went to the website and there's this blue button on there and we can get all of our records.
Yeah.
And so it is trickling down to the consumers.
Frequently the most powerful concepts are the simplest concepts. Mm-hmm. The whole thing here is having a standard that everybody adheres to allow the consumer to download that medical information. When you do that, the marketplace will do some wonderful things with that information. And most importantly, it's under the consumer's control. Mm-hmm. They decide what they want to do with that information once they own it. And that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, Elizabeth, over on the side of CMS, you gave us some great information around meaningful use in stage 2 and stage 3, which is coming up. What does consumer engagement look like in stage 2, and what are you thinking about for the future?
Okay. In stage 2, we do have a strong focus on consumer engagement. So stage 2 will begin in 2014, but some examples of how it focuses on patient engagement is healthcare providers who are meaningful users must provide their patients with the ability to view online, download, and transmit their health information. Another measure is that healthcare providers must also use secure electronic messaging to communicate with patients on relevant health information. Additionally, providers who are meaningful users must provide clinical summaries for their patients for each office visit. Now, these clinical summaries include relevant and actionable information and instructions, all designed to empower the patient. And the summaries can be provided to the patient in several ways, through a personal health record, through a patient portal, or on electronic media, so you could get it on a CD or a USB fob. We're also starting to message to Medicare beneficiaries about getting them to ask their healthcare providers, if they're not using electronic health records, why not? They want their information electronically, so that we can push as CMS, as the insurance provider, we can talk to the providers, but we'll also have that extra jab for the consumer saying, okay, why aren't you switching to electronic? I want my information electronically. And CMS is also very supportive of the blue button and trying to get the information out to all our millions of Medicare beneficiaries.
Not to overplay the parent hand too much, but I have a story again about that, about patients getting involved there. About 6 months ago or so, I went to a clinical visit with my mother, and she's talking with the physician in the exam room, and she's relaying some information to him. And he was listening to her, and she pointed at him, and she said, "You're not typing this. You need to get this down." So it's really making a difference. And so, Gail, I'm very curious about the state of Florida and what your colleagues in the House of Representatives are talking about as such. Does consumer engagement come up, and what's that conversation about?
Well, I can tell you how important consumer engagement is in Florida, and we had a very good example of actually the impact of Blue Button during Katrina. And the hurricanes, of course, Florida is the epicenter of hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Although Katrina hit New Orleans, we had a lot of the people from New Orleans come to Florida. And they came to our emergency rooms in Pensacola, in Fort Walton Beach. And we have a very large military presence in that area. And people would come in from, you know, from Mississippi and New Orleans and that whole area, mm-hmm. come into Florida into the emergency rooms. And they would come in and say, you know, I have cancer, I'm on chemo, and I need my next treatment. When, you know, I don't know anything about it, what am I going to do? Or they would come in congestive heart failure, they would come in and their diabetes would be out of control or whatever. And they presented in our emergency rooms. And they, every one of those veterans who had been in the VA system, our emergency rooms could download their records and start their treatment immediately. So we have seen firsthand the impact it can have on patient care.
Okay.
And the patients were just delighted when they could then get their immediate treatment and continue making progress. We are very engaged in it in Florida. We are trying to, of course, make sure that we have as much out there in our Medicaid system. That's what the state can do. And when we are moving into Medicaid reform, we required that as we go into a managed care system, that a certain percentage of the providers in that managed care system, in order to get the contract from the state of Florida, be meaningful users of health IT and have electronic health records. So that, and then, of course, with stage two, there's going to be that component of consumer engagement, mm-hmm. and measuring of consumer engagement. So we are very, very positive in Florida. We hope that we will be moving forward, and having patients really involved in their health care will help reduce costs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when you're spending $23 billion a year on Medicaid, you're very concerned about reducing cost without reducing quality, improving quality, and reducing the cost.
Right. There's an and in that sentence.
Yes.
Yes.
And
you
have to always talk about improving quality of care. Mm-hmm. That's the value proposition. Mm-hmm. When you really look at why I'm so passionate about health IT, is because when you look at that value proposition, value equals quality over cost. Mm-hmm. You want the improving quality, and you want to reduce your cost.
Absolutely.
And that's the ultimate result.
That's the key. And Roger, you had talked about how the VA has been experiencing witnessing the improvement of quality and making the costs more effective. And I would think that example that Gail just previously offered of citizens coming into the state of Florida due to natural emergencies and being able to draw up their veterans' records right there in the ER would be an example.
Yeah, that's one of the legends of VA at this point is, you know, when Katrina hit in New Orleans. It was a matter of about 24 hours until, if you were a veteran leaving New Orleans and you showed up at a VA facility, your record was there.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, you know, the record came out of the VA hospital in New Orleans and was distributed to all of those other systems. So a very great story about what happens in a disaster, what the criticality of that record is, and how it improves care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one other thing I thought I'd touch on is, you know, the whole concept of telehealth, because it really goes along with all this stuff, you know, the consumer engagement side. We're just finding, we, 2 months later from a VA standpoint, the VA is really seeing benefits from telehealth. And we talked about that quality of care going up and cost going down. So think about quality of care from a telehealth perspective. Can you see the individual in their home or local to their where they live versus having to travel to a VA? Mm-hmm. And how does that help the quality of care? Just a lot of interesting stories and a lot of interesting metrics in the VA about being able to reduce the number of emergency room visits for patients with a history of cardiac care. If you can monitor them more closely in their home with telehealth, and detect when, for example, they're having water weight gain or other things, you can actually reduce the number of emergency rooms visits. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. Who's happier with reduced emergency room visits, the patient or the medical facility? Because both of them, the patient is getting better medical care while the cost of care is going down. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting is there's a very, very desirable feedback loop in there. You know, the more you can drive down the number of visits a patient has, the better their health is. Mm-hmm. And the less it costs to provide health care for them. And that's really the power of not just the medical record, but extending a lot of the IT. How do you reach out to the consumer and see them where they are?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
then you drive that whole concept to the concept of, fully mobile. Medical care wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
Fully monitored would mm-hmm. be fairly interesting with some of the mobile devices. Some of the apps that are out there now are just incredible. For what they can do for monitoring and providing feedback on healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And Ligia, you are very deeply involved in all of this. So Roger was just talking about some of the amazing apps that are going on. And you mentioned early about some ONC challenges.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. I just want to build on something that Roger said before, that sometimes the easiest solution is the best. And I just wanted to underscore this idea of the blue button, which the VA was so early in promoting and has done such an amazing job with. That's effectively the same thing that Elizabeth is talking about in the view, download, and transmit capabilities within meaningful use. So what we're really trying to do now, and I mean we, the federal government, but also our partners in the private sector and in the states, is bring forward a unified vision, through blue button. This is easy. You can get your health information at the click of a button. It's going to be simpler for you. Mm-hmm. And once you've got it, that leads into this issue of apps and tools and what can you do with it. Mm-hmm. And one thing ONC did earlier this year was to put out some guidelines with some clear standards that can help developers to build tools using blue button standards using blue button information in ways that are predictable so that it can send, reminders to patients, for example, or automatically update their information. And we have put out a number of challenges, some of which have resulted in tools related to blue button. For example, there's an app called iBlueButton, which lets patients take their Medicare data or their VA data and understand it in a much clearer interface than they might otherwise, but also be able to understand where there might be potential risks like medication interactions. But we're certainly in the process, too, of building additional challenges and hoping to meet very specific needs. For example, the development of tools related to the management of cancer mm-hmm. and other particular areas that let people manage transitions of care or be engaged as caregivers and kind of meet many areas where we don't think the market has necessarily picked up on a need, but also to just kind of create an environment in which we encourage developers to move into the healthcare space if they haven't been in there before, because mm-hmm. this really is an area of opportunity and growth. VC funding of digital health grew 46% in 2012 overall compared to 2011. So this is an area that's, has some real economic opportunity.
Thank you, Ligia. And you are listening to Improving Healthcare Outcomes Through IT Policy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are you trying to implement health policy in light of budget cuts and sequestration? Are you struggling to engage consumers in their own care? HIMSS, focused on better health through information technology, invites you to join healthcare policy leaders, IT professionals, and providers in sharing current challenges and practical solutions at the Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition, June 11th and 12th at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Downtown Hotel. Register at govhealthitconference.com. You'll learn how public and private sector organizations are using innovative technologies to create a more collaborative model of care, which helps control costs while improving health outcomes. Come network with decision makers from federal and regional government, technology and provider communities, and learn best practices that can help you achieve a better return on your investment. Don't miss the Government Health IT Conference, June 11th and 12th. Register at govhealthitconference.com.
I am your host, Carla Smith, and before the break, we were talking about the challenges and opportunities around consumer engagement, and I just want to note that these are conversations that we're going to be continuing in June. We have a conference coming up on June 11th and 12th in Washington, D.C., the Government Health IT Conference, and for example, LIGEA is going to be one of our speakers at that conference. And so if you'd like to learn more about it, you can visit govhealthitconference.com. And hope to see you and others there. Government employees are able to register for $50 each. And so now I'd like to kind of move on to some additional specifics around how Health IT is contributing to the transformation of health and the delivery of health care. For example, around clinical and business intelligence and the concept of electronic exchange of health information. So, Elizabeth, I'd like to get started with you. And talking about electronic exchange of health information is certainly something that CMS is deeply committed to. And you can see that in the policies that have been promulgated by CMS. How does CMS anticipate taking advantage of electronic information that is able to be exchanged and using clinical and business intelligence? Talk to us about what CMS is going to be able to do for Americans.
So at CMS, in the back of our mind, we're always thinking about our triple aim, ways to reduce healthcare costs, improving patient safety, and improving outcomes. So with that backdrop, we believe that our new e-health approach will help to transform the healthcare system. The future of e-health is dependent on interoperability, the ability to share healthcare data freely among patients, physicians, healthcare providers, and health plans. In order to capture patient data in a way that is efficient and allows the data to be shared with other healthcare providers, you need that data in a structured format. Sort of people need to be speaking the same language, otherwise there's a communication gap. Structured data allows the patient information to be easily retrieved and transferred, and it allows the provider to use the EHR in ways that can help aid patient care. We are working to be able to look at entire populations and at specific conditions to measure the quality of care and improvements in that quality and do it in real time. If the data is electronically, it's much faster for us to look at it than if we have to do chart abstractions, for example. As data becomes increasingly scattered across different sites of care, electronic health records and their data standards will help providers bring the data together through health information exchange and electronic transfer so that providers can make informed decisions about patient care across multiple sites of care.
Thank you. And Roger, I know from the Department of Veterans Affairs perspective and the Department of Defense, there have been a lot of conversations and attempts to be able to share information between those two departments. Could you tell us where the two departments are in that effort?
Sure. So, you know, it's interesting. DOD and VA were the earliest adopters of large-scale electronic health record systems. And if you kind of think of that as Generation 1, Generation 2 was how do we share information between those two EHR systems? You know, right now, if you leave DOD, your electronic record comes over to the VA and is stored basically waiting for you to come in. So there's about 5 million records, you know, moved between DOD and VA at any point, you know, as people leave the service. So there's a lot of exchange between DOD and VA. In 2009, the President Obama gave us a greater goal, which was create a single electronic record for those that have served in the military and moving into the VA to be served by their government. And that turns out to be a huge challenge as you think about all the information across government and across the private sector for those individuals. you know, the whole topic of the IEHR and how DOD and VA are working together gets covered in a lot of places. I want to talk for a second about what's happening with the private sector sharing of information. About 50% of all the medical care provided to either the veteran seen at the VA or service members is provided by the private sector. Mm-hmm. And that information has to be part of the lifetime electronic record that the president envisioned. It's not just what DOD and VA are doing. So if you look at where that path has been going, and you look at the nationwide health information network that DOD and VA have been working on with ONC for, you know, for several years at this point, the standards in there, the connectivity that's going on right now between VA and DOD facilities and health information exchanges across the country. Those have been in pilot for several years, and they're now actually in production, exchanging information on patients between episodes of care between private sector facilities and VA and DOD facilities. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of information sharing going on. You know, we have tended since 2009 to think of the DOD and VA as the proof points for the standards that that ONC is promulgating nationwide. If we can build it to work with VA, DOD, show that those standards work well for that information exchange, then clearly, technically, it's possible for others to do it. But also, we put the government's dollars behind doing that, and we get people interested in working with us as we provide care for veterans service members mm-hmm. around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, in San Diego, a pilot going on with the Wounded Warriors program. There's a huge number of military personnel, veterans, and their families in the San Diego area, and going in and out of the public sector and the private sector to receive their care.
Right. Yeah, and actually the first pilot ever of the Nationwide Health Information Network was in San Diego. Kaiser Permanente, VA, and DOD exchanging information on patients there. You know, Craig Lugart, who's one of the great VA medical folks, you know, when that first exchange happened, sent a message out to all of us that says, remember this moment. You know, this is a huge point in medical information sharing history, you know, because patient information came across actually from the VA to the doctor at Kaiser Permanente. And the doctor looked at it and said, I didn't know the patient had that allergy. You know, so just immediately you see value from the sharing of that information, something the VA knew about the individual, but the private sector doctor didn't, that had a quality of care impact for the individual.
Mm-hmm. And Ligia, through the Office of the National Coordinator, there have been projects underway over the last few years through a program called Beacon Communities. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about the Beacon Communities and what we've been learning?
Sure. There are 17 different beacon communities, which are meant to be, well, beacons, an example of what is possible when you use health information and health information exchange well. And certainly we've learned a lot about quality of care generally, and in particular in the consumer engagement area, there have been a few interesting things that have come up. One example is a program called Text for Health, which is a diabetes awareness and prevention program, which was first piloted in three beacons in Cincinnati, Detroit, and New Orleans. And essentially, it used mobile health. It used text reminders to, first of all, identify people who were at great risk for diabetes or might have it and not realize that they did. Mm-hmm. And then to help to channel those individuals toward resources in their communities, either for managing their health, like there's a 5K going on in 2 months here. This is where you can sign up to participate in it, or to healthcare providers who could help to diagnose them, treat them, and so on. And it was very successful, particularly in New Orleans, which is now taking it to scale and really trying to expand it throughout the region. Another thing that we learned from the beacons was a really interesting research project done at Geisinger, through which patients were given online access to their own health information. And just by looking at their medication lists alone, so a list of what medications you're on average, people were able to identify two errors or omissions per person for what was in their med list. So if you can really think about the patient as a contributor to that conversation of saying what's correct, high-quality information in the record, you can engage them and really, I think, increase the overall information in the record, particularly when you imagine going beyond the medication list to the overall
health record, you've really got, again, this untapped resource in patients. Mm-hmm. So from research to pilots, the beacons are showing us what health information technology can look like.
Mm-hmm. And Gail, in the state of Florida, could you talk to us a little bit about, you've mentioned earlier about Medicaid, and of course that the states have a tremendous impact and ability to make a difference in the world with Medicaid. So any thoughts that you have to share on that?
Well, certainly within the state of Florida, we are standing up a statewide exchange, a health information exchange. We have a $19 million grant from ONC to get that jump started and stand up a health information exchange. We see lots of our communities putting together regional exchanges. We see vendor groups coming together and putting together an exchange within a particular vendor, you know, whether it's Epic or Cerner or any of the big vendors, they have their own exchange. So you see that happening. You see hospital systems, mm-hmm. Orlando Health or Orlando Regional Health coming together and doing a exchange within their group. So we are seeing a lots of different models out there starting to happen. It's a very exciting time to see mm-hmm. exchange really starting to happen. What we need is to make sure that the interoperability is there, those mm-hmm. standards that you spoke of, so that we can make sure that this exchange will be able to fit with that exchange. Mm-hmm. And certainly the state interaction in that is an extremely important part, mm-hmm. as is the ONC interaction in that, in developing those standards. So it's a wonderful opportunity mm-hmm. to really make a difference for that patient. Mm-hmm. And that's what it all comes down to. What difference is it going to make in that coordination of care that is the essential element for improving outcomes?
Absolutely. And information exchange is not a slam dunk. It's actually can get quite complex. You have got entities who the folks running the entity may think, I own that information, right? Not the patient. Or I want to hold on to that information because I look at it as a competitive market advantage that I don't want to share within my community. And how do we, from a policy perspective, how do we help those individuals understand about a new way of looking at the world and a new way of thinking through the delivery of care and the payment of care and where their role is? Ligia.
Well, certainly with regard to bringing the patients into this sort of arena of exchange, mm-hmm. there's some pretty clear policy in this area, particularly under HIPAA. Which says that essentially you as an individual have a right to access your health information. And particularly if it is in electronic format, there's some guidance that you can request it in that format if you'd like. So it's just about the law, and it's about being clear about what the law says in this particular area of mm-hmm. patient engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gail.
I think also as we have payment models changing, it's going to be more and more important to have health information exchange. Because as ACOs are standing up, as medical homes are becoming really a key factor in handling healthcare, you're going to need all that information to make appropriate decisions because you're going to be paid on the quality of care and the outcomes that are given. So there are market forces out there that are going to really push all our providers into making sure that we have the exchange that's necessary, not only to reduce costs, but to improve those outcomes. And that's the ultimate result we want.
Absolutely. And Roger.
You know, what I love about this discussion is all of these impacts and all these changes we're talking about are things that really are driven by the focus on health IT that we started years ago with major investments. And you look at the changes in the market and the dynamics, the consumers becoming more and more empowered with their health information. As we mentioned earlier, you know, if all politics is local, all healthcare is personal. And so people taking real advantage of the fact that they can get this information to start utilizing it for better health care for themselves and for those that they care for or those that they care about. And, you know, we, in this discussion, we're looking at some of the, if you will, micro things. That macro trend is just amazing to watch, and the impact of freeing the data and making that data available for all the mobility tools, all the doctor tools, all the EHRs, all the exchange. It's just great to watch that whole plan come together.
It's wonderful to be a part of that, isn't it?
It is.
It's absolutely wonderful. And that is a great closing comment that you made there, Roger. I'd like to thank all of our panelists today for our discussion on improving healthcare outcomes through IT policy, which has been sponsored by HIMSS on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. I'd like to thank our wonderful panelists, Roger Baker, former CIO at Veterans Affairs, Representative Gail Harrell from the great state of Florida, Ligia Ricciardi from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, and Elizabeth Holland from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We're going to be continuing this conversation at the Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition on June 11th and 12th in Washington, D.C. And for more information, go to govhealthitconference.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Improving Healthcare Outcomes Through IT Policy, a panel sponsored by HIMSS on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any portion of the show, you can listen to the show in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Are you trying to implement health policy in light of budget cuts and sequestration? Are you struggling to engage consumers in their own care? HIMSS, focused on better health through information technology, invites you to join healthcare policy leaders, IT professionals, and providers in sharing current challenges and practical solutions at the Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition, June 11th and 12th at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Downtown Hotel. Register at govhealthitconference.com. You'll learn how public and private sector organizations are using innovative technologies to create a more collaborative model of care, which helps control costs while improving health outcomes. Come network with decision makers from federal and regional government, technology and provider communities, and learn best practices that can help you achieve a better return on your investment. Don't miss the Government Health IT Conference, June 11th and 12th. Register at govhealthitconference.com.